rage, the battle is the fear. But this summer I had a couple ladies come, and they were a godsend, like angels. And I, you know, we were doing the deal, and I never knew how sick I was this summer. And they said, we gotta come and pray with you. And they came and they started praying, and they said, you are in a turmoil for your life. And I shared with them what was going on. They said, yeah, but God, this isn't a surprise to God, but unless you let this go, this might take you out. And I said, well, how do I do that? They said, you're in turmoil mentally and emotionally and physically. And I said, tell me, what am I doing? Every time the fear is on you, you have this thing. You have to turn around, lay back, and let God be God. So that night, like a little child, remember, be converted, become as a child. I sat before him, I said, I don't even know how to let this go, because I am battling a battle for life. He did it. And you know, I don't sit and fear about it. There is a blanket that came over me. There's no anxiety, there's no fear, which is really unbelievable. And for your family, he's commissioning your footsteps. He's gonna give you something supernatural, Chad, beyond your natural ability, because see, the supernatural is coming forth. And the miracles are bursting forth, where he takes us from this point to the miracle. And he's carrying us. But remember when even David Wagner said, we have to turn around, lean back into his arms, and just let her go. So if fear tries to come, just say, I let this go. It's not mine. And a blanket of the rest of God will come upon you. Because we have to maintain, and it isn't easy, but he has us in a blanket right now. It's like a cocoon because of what he wants to release and birth forth. And it's miracle time. So your dad is in his hands. I don't care what they tell you. God has it. God has you and your family. And rest in the peace. The love of God is going to surround you. You're going to enter into a new realm of the kingdom of heaven like you've never known before. And a lot of stuff in your life is coming off because of this, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rest. God is doing things differently than were done in the past. We know the promises of God for each of our families. God has promised each one of our families that he would sustain us, that he would comfort us, that he'd give us peace. And I don't know of a single family in here that in 2018 hasn't almost gone through pure hell. Not a family. But through all of this, God is preeminent. Our God is able. Our God is capable of doing everything, of performing those miracles, those promises that he has promised every single one of us. Chad, Tom, Bethany, Deb, Mary, Jan, every single one of us. Adam, Lynn, every single one of us. God has promised. And we simply need to lay back and rest in our God. Because he is able. Our God's able. Thank you.
Father, we just lift up. We lift up Hannah to you. We lift up all the other needs that we've discussed this morning. And Father, we just believe that even as we sang this morning, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every realm of disbelief and fear and disappointment and discouragement off. There's power in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that Hannah is walking through a journey. I thank you that Deb's walking through a journey. I thank you that the Manning family's walking through a journey. I thank you that we are all walking through a journey, God, of discovering who you are to us and who you are in the midst of our difficult situations. And Father, I thank you that as we unified this morning and sang those words, that sound goes on for eternity. And that sound, that there's power in the name of Jesus, that there's power in the blood. We just joined with the heavenly host. We joined with eternity. And our voices came into unity with heaven. And I believe that that's where miracles happen. And so, Father, I thank you that this is a season of miracles. Father, you spoke it. Jamie declared it. We heard it. We heard it at the conference. There was going to be miracles in families, in relationships. Restoration. God, you are a God of restoration, and we believe that with all our heart, that you are restoring us back to your original intention. And Father, today as I just lift your word up and as we just take a little bit time just to read your word and get some understanding and some wisdom in what is going on, Father, I pray that our hearts will be open, that our ears will hear, that our eyes will see. God, that we will look in the natural. We are not natural humans. We are supernatural beings. And God, we need to see in the spirit. We need to see into the heavenlies. We need to see that open portal that Jeff was speaking. We need to see that, Lord, in our spirit. And Father, so today as we just open your word, Father, I pray that the word would become alive. You said your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing soul and spirit. And so I pray for that today as we just take a little bit of time just to expound on what God's doing in our hearts. God, we just surrender to you. We surrender to you, God. We surrender to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now I might need a Kleenex. Do I have one? Sorry. Anyway, can't find one. Somebody grab me a clue. One of the reasons that I got asked to speak this morning is because I was on the phone with Sandy and Jake. I think they had it on speaker, and Sandy was telling me about Mel. I hadn't heard yet, and we were talking about. Thank you, Tim. We were just talking about the situations, and there's just something rose up in me to start declaring, decreeing and declaring what the word of the Lord had said. And so in our conversation, I just started, God said it. God, you said it. This is a season for miracles. So in the process of just talking to Sandy, I heard Pastor Jake say, "Oh, Mary, I think you're supposed to speak on Sunday." So that's why I'm here. But we have to understand that we're all on a journey. And what does that journey look like? And it's not always an easy journey. But Jeremy, are you able to bring that scripture for me? During the conference, Dar shared this scripture. And it's out of 1 Corinthians 2. And it says, it's talking about the wisdom of God. It says, and I wanted him to have it up there just because it's so good to just see it. We need to see it, not only see it, hear it. We need all our senses involved in this thing. However, there is a wisdom that we continually speak of when we are among the spiritually mature. It's wisdom that didn't originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age, who are in the process of being dethroned. So there's a wisdom that God is trying to give to us, and it's in the realm of as God is teaching us to grow spiritually and mature. I believe that's really where we're at. God is in the process of maturing us in the realms of the Spirit. But in that, it says, this wisdom did not originate in this present age, nor did it come from the rulers of this age who are in the process of being dethroned. Jeremy, can you bring up the next verse? Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan, destined before the ages, to bring us into glory. None of the rulers of this present world or world order understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of shining glory. That's right. So there's a process of things being dethroned. I had a dream. It was right before the conference. Didn't really understand the dream. It was the craziest dream ever, you guys. I was swimming in the New York Harbor, and the Statue of Liberty was there. And I was treading water. I don't really like deep water. I'm not a very good swimmer. So for me to be there, looking up at the Statue of Liberty and treading water, I had no fear on me, which I knew that it was something supernatural. It was weird, because normally I would be freaking out, just in my natural. And as I was there in perfect peace, I was watching pieces of the Statue of Liberty fall into the bay, just chunks. And I was like, what in the world, you know? And yet I wasn't scared. And then at one point I thought, oh my God, this whole thing is gonna go into the harbor. In my dream, I literally seen, and I thought, oh my God, maybe I need to get out of its way. Because I felt like it was gonna crash and go down and hit me. And yet I wasn't in fear. There was the thought, maybe. And it was the craziest thing. And I saw the Statue of Liberty piece by piece crumble, and then all of a sudden that whole thing fell into the bay. And I woke up. I was like, what was that? I told Jim the next morning, I said, that was the craziest dream ever. And I really do believe that dream was a dream from the Lord. I do believe it's maybe a dream for our nation. I don't quite understand it all, but I also believe it was a dream for me. And as we said, they're in the process of being dethroned. Things are being in the process of being dethroned in our life. I felt like it was personal. There are things that on this journey, as we walk, there are things in our life that we put above the Word of God. We put above, and we don't mean to. It's I think it's in the realm of our belief system. And I believe that God has us on a journey to change and reveal things in our belief system. And I believe it was even said what Deb said this morning. She shared a little bit of what they said to you. That what God's dealing with our belief system. Jerry, put up John 17:21 for me. This is a prayer from Jesus, and he said, I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you are and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you have sent me. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed for us to be one. And I know that can be corporately, but I also believe that God wants me to be one with him. I believe that there's a oneness that needs to come into me in my body, soul, and spirit, my spirit, soul, and body, that I am in one with him. And I believe that that's the journey we're on. My thoughts, my emotions, my words, and my prayer. I believe that that's what needs to come into oneness. Chad said the fear that hit his family. Of course fear is going to hit our family. Do we believe, if we go back to what's being dethroned, can we believe that cancer is being dethroned? Is that, Dave Wagner always talks about Jesus getting his just reward. What Jesus paid on the cross, is he getting his just reward if we're sick? If we're struggling, what did he pay for on the cross? What was given to us on the cross? What is that just reward that Jesus wants? But we're in the process of belief systems being dethroned. You said you struggle for 4 days with fear. Of course we all would. I mean, this is devastating news. But the Word of God says, perfect love casts out fear. So where do we have to go when those thoughts come at us? Or how about disappointments? How about, I mean, Sarah, what comes to your mind when you hear cancer? I mean, disappointment. But in the conference, God spoke to us, we can't live by our history. We can't live there. God is progressively moving us in our realms of our belief system. We can't live in the past, even though the past so many times brings disappointment. I think one of the biggest things the enemy uses is disappointment in our life. It says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. They are to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And if the enemy can get us in disappointment, he robs us of our hope. And if he robs us of our hope, where is the realm of faith? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. If the enemy gets us stuck in disappointment, then we're not walking in faith. And so I think God is, we're in the process. I believe personally in myself that I need to be in unity within me. I believe sometimes in the process we even find out sometimes we don't think we're worthy. You know, we think of Are we worthy of this? Are we worthy of this healing? Am I worthy to be financially blessed? Am I worthy to walk in the anointing of God? And those things are attacked in our life, I think. And so I have to come into oneness with me, in me, to know that I'm believing the word. So I believe that we're in a process of our belief systems being changed. It really is. I feel like I've been on a journey for at least, God has brought me in a journey for the last 4 years of this very thing. When I am triggered in my emotions, or if I'm triggered in my thoughts, or if the wrong words are coming out of my mouth, God is making me so much more aware of that. And I've come to the point of saying, okay, God, what is in me that you want to change? What belief do I have in me? Let's just say in the realm of finances. Jesus said, heaven's resources are for his children. There is an inheritance for us. There is an inheritance that is beyond what anyone can think. His inheritance is not only financial, money-wise, but it's also health, it's healing, it's wholeness. Nothing broke. Nothing missing. But do I believe that? Or do I believe I'm worthy of that? Because the enemy so many times wants to bring condemnation on us. He wants to make us feel like we can't receive that because of I think the enemy uses shame a lot. I think he uses condemnation and shame a lot. Because we do mess up. We do make mistakes. We do. I mean, if we're honest with each other, we maybe blow it every day. But that's not our true identity. And we've been speaking about identity for a couple years now. Our true identity is not determined from our actions. But we believe that. We really believe it's by our actions. But it's not. But from what God has placed within us, it is time to let go of false conclusions and base our identity on who the Word of God says we are. And that's where God's taking us. Because then what happens is it takes out that thought that I'm unworthy. The Bible says that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. See, the enemy will use shame. Shame says, if I mess up, I could share stories. I'm not going to because I have other scriptures I want to say. But when shame comes upon us, we say there's something wrong with me. We look and say there's something wrong with me. Because maybe we did sin, maybe we did mess up. But that isn't how God looks at us. God says there's no condemnation. So what has to come into agreement in me, in my spirit, soul, and body? I have to come in agreement with that word, that Christ isn't looking at me through the eyes of my sin. He's looking at me through the eyes of what Jesus did on the cross that made me worthy, where there is no condemnation. And I need to come into oneness with that. Then I can say, you know what? I'm a son, a daughter of God, and I am worthy. I'm worthy to be healed. I'm worthy to experience the prophetic words that God has spoke. I'm worthy to receive it, not because of me, but because of him. And then, when I can get in unity with my emotions, my thoughts, my words, and my prayer, There's such power and authority in unity that that's when the breakthroughs happen in our life. What did the breakthrough happen to have? When you just let go of the fear. Let go of the fear. How do you just relax into the in the arms of your Father? You understand He loves you. He loves you. He cares about you. He's with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. How, and that takes us out of disappointment and failure and unworthiness, and it brings us into faith. God said, will I find faith when I come back? Faith is important to be established in our life. And we will not, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope is connected with our faith. When do we get the miracles? When do we get the breakthroughs? Is when our faith connects with our hope in a God that loves us, that loves Hannah. Yeah. Think of the miracles that Hannah has walked through. And you know, it takes away that when we get a prophetic word, when we get a word, we have to come into oneness with that. If we don't grasp that word and come into oneness with that in myself, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And so I think we're on a process. And in these situations, you know, Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, I don't know about you, but it's hard to be cheerful with all this stuff going on. That's the Word of God. And I think if we connect, let me go here. Okay. Jeremy, let me just put up 2 Peter 1:3. We're on a journey. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us. Wow. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by His divine power. For all this was lavished. I love that word, lavished. I've been using that word, lavish. Think about God lavishing His love on you. That's a powerful word. Just lavishing. That's not a word we use very often. I love that word. I love the Passion Translation. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing Him who has called us by name and invited us to come to Him through a glorious manifestation of His goodness. Wow. That's what God thinks about us. That's what He did for us. God's generous grace. Wow. Do I believe it? Is there a belief system in me that needs to change? There totally is. I've been in a process in our life where God has shown me that I'm worthy of certain things. And He wants to lavishly pour them out on me. And you know, sometimes it's hard to receive them. It is. But that's what Christ paid for. This is where we're going. It's our belief system changing. God's shifting us. He's shifting us from natural to kingdom. That's what's happening. Even in these processes, even in these difficulties, He's shifting us. The kingdom God in Romans says is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those three things. I talked about us feeling not worthy where our righteousness gets attacked. But it's not our righteousness, it's His righteousness. Christ in us. Christ in us. There's a scripture that says we do not live, it's in Galatians 2. We live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not my faith anymore. We live by the faith of the Son of God. Chad, you live by the faith of the Son of God. I believe that one of the things that needs to come into our lives, and I know in this season, and you feel it, and you feel it in these difficulties where the enemy wants to steal our peace and our joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. What is the enemy after? He's after the kingdom in you. And if he can steal our righteousness with looking at our past sins or our disappointments or our shame, he steals a part of that kingdom out of us. If he can steal our peace. Hey, he's doing great things in your life. Hey, that's what we need to testify of. Our testimony is powerful. Can God restore family? Restore children back to his the Father? Yes. And that brings great joy. I know we're coming into a season of joy. We are maybe in a battle right now, and we maybe have to understand that we're going through a journey, but there's joy at the end of this journey. The other day, this is just a busy time of the year. And it's Christmas, and Christ we're celebrating his birth, and yet it's maybe the most stressful, craziest time. And we allow ourselves to get caught up in it. The other day, I crawled out of bed and went, oh, God. You just feel like, you're just getting by every day. And God just said, where's your peace, Mary? Guard your peace. Where's your peace? And he took me into Philippians, and I'm going to end with this. Jeremy, you can bring it up. It's Philippians 4:8. Just a little history about Philippians. Paul wrote Philippians while he was in jail. In jail. He was in jail. I don't know what I'd think about when I was in jail, but I probably have a hard time being in peace and I have a hard time being in joy. Paul teaches us that our true life is not only in this world, but it's in the heavenly calling, the heavenly realm, and in our heavenly life that has given to us through Jesus Christ, the heavenly man. In Philippians, Paul talks about joy and rejoicing 18 times. He's in jail. He's in jail. The church in Philippians was founded when Paul and Silas was put in prison. And at midnight, remember the story in Acts where they praise God till the prison walls broke? And then they took time before they snuck out. They prayed for the jailer, and he got saved. So that was what happened. That's the history of the Philippian church. That's how it was birthed, through Paul in prison, being whipped, him and Silas, and yet at midnight praising God. So I just want to end with this. So keep your thoughts continuously. This is what the Lord told me a couple mornings. He took me here. Keep your thoughts continuously fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. I slowly went through them, and I actually had to work really hard. In another version, it says, whatever is true. And I said, God, what is true? I just went through them. God, what is true in my life? What is true? And that's what I ask you today. What is true in your life? What do you know for sure? By your walk with the Lord, what do you know that is for sure true? Noble. What is noble? What is noble in your life? What is right? Honorable. What's honorable? Respectful. Remember, Paul's in prison. This is what Paul is fixing his thoughts on. I'm sorry, my thoughts aren't always fixed on these things. My thoughts sometimes are so natural, so crazy, so caught up in today's world. God said we're not to be caught up in this. We are heavenly beings. What is respectful in your life? What is pure? Holy? I had to ask myself each one of this. What is merciful? What's merciful in my life? I think it was Dave, he said, mercy and fire. We're coming into a season of mercy and fire. Mercy. Kindness. Kind. Being kind. I use that word all the time with my daycare kids. It's just, I need to be kind. You know? And this, yesterday I was driving up to my mom's and I pulled into Erskine. And this car, I was going to pull into parking lot, and this car zoomed in front of me and slid in there. And I was like, oh my God, I almost hit him. I was like, I mean, everything in me wanted to go, what is up? I'm sorry. But you know what? I chose to be kind. I just chose to be kind and thankful that I didn't have an accident, that I didn't turn into one. I mean, we have to purposely and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God and praising Him always. This is what I want to decree and declare for this season, that we serve a God that paid the price for healing. He paid the price. And as sons and daughters, healing is the children's bread. It says in Isaiah, He wants the children's bread. We're his sons and daughters. You know, if sometimes we just have to realize that we're in a process, we're in this journey, and God is doing something amazing in our hearts. He's bringing us into those beliefs. He's changing those. He's dethroning those things in our life that are not of him. I declare today that I submit my mind, my will, and my emotions to the truth of God's word. I declare today that he's a good God. He's a good, good Father. I declare today that as sons and daughters, we are worthy of his inheritance. I declare that this is a house of healing and that many people will hear and testify of the healings and get saved and healed. I believe that we don't look back. We don't look at We look forward to our destiny, what God has called us to. And I believe that as we come into oneness, I believe with even the words, the prophetic words that the Lord has spoken, we come, when God can bring us into oneness with that, that's when we'll see the manifestations of those things happen. So welcome to the journey. Is the journey easy? No. Journey's not easy, but God is with us. God said, I think it's earlier in Philippians, he said, God is faithful to complete what he's started in us. So this is a process that is being worked in our lives, and he is able to complete that. So let's just stand up. Father, we just thank you for your word. And we thank you for the words that you've spoken over this house and over our lives, Father. Father, we've been so richly blessed by the prophetic words in this house. We have been so richly blessed over the prophetic words of our lives and the destiny and the purpose that you have for each one of us, God. So today, as we enter into this holiday season, even in these difficult situations, God, we just trust you. We know that you have plans and they're for good. Father, we thank you that we live in a kingdom, that we are seated in heavenly places, in a place of authority and power, God. I thank you that you placed us in that place, in heavenly places. And so, Father, out of that authority and power, we speak healing in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus to cover our loved ones. We know there's power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in your blood. I thank you that you are bringing me to a place where I know that I know that I know that your word is true, that what the price that you paid is true, and we are worthy to receive those. And Father, as we're on this journey, God, we stand together as one. We stand together as a body. We stand together as one, believing. And where one is struggling, God, the other is strong. I pray for that life source to bring strength to each situation, God, to every home, for every sickness, for every financial difficulty, for every relationship problem. I pray, Father, that you will continue to walk us through. Speak to us, God. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that he leads and guides us and brings us into all truth. Father, I thank you that this is a blessed holiday. Father, we rejoice in what you're doing in our lives. We rejoice. And again, as you said, rejoice. We rejoice that you paid it all. That you paid it all, Jesus. And we come into oneness and agreement with your word today. We thank you, Lord. I pray that you would bless everyone here. Father, I pray that everyone would feel the love of the body. I pray for Sandy and Jake. They're having this time that they so needed, Father. I thank you for providing that for them. We lift them up to you, and we thank you that they will come back refreshed, energized with new vision for what God is going to do in this house. I thank you, God, that we're all in a process, and it's a good process because it's taking us from glory to glory. Father, we just thank you, and we just love on you today, God. We love you, God. We thank you for loving us. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.